Who are you again?
I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know anything anymore.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I do not know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we are looking at our third Christmas special. Yes, our third Christmas special, Voyage of the Damned.
All Christmas specials have been with David Tennant, huh?
Yes. The very first Christmas special was his...
You don't need to remind me about that. You don't need to remind me about how he woke up to a good cup of tea.
Yes, I was going to say the first Christmas special was his first story. Then the second one was our first trip with Donna Noble. And then this one is our third Christmas special, which...
Second trip with Donna Noble?
You'll find out, I suppose. But okay. We know for sure that it's a trip on board the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do the episode proper, I thought it might be kind of fun if we watched they made a charity special for a charity called Children in Need, and they've actually done one.
So I'm confused about what the charity is. Are they helping like homeless dogs or
I didn't show you the first one because it's kind of awkward, and I felt like the story flows better if you don't get it. Because the first one happens between The Parting of the Ways and Tennant's first Christmas special. That one sort of gives you a little bit of time of Rose talking to Tennant before Tennant starts freaking out at the beginning of the Christmas invasion.
Yeah.
I like it much better having Tennant just stumble out of the TARDIS and then pass out for an hour. So there's a part I didn't really want to show you that one because I felt like it doesn't really add as much to the story. This one also doesn't really add much to the story, but it's really cute and kind of fun. This is your first multi-doctor story.
Oh.
It's called Time Crash.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to have a Cassie Profassi with this one, but if I was, which other doctor do you think they bring in for this?
Not Eccleston.
Okay, not Eccleston.
I know
that. So that leaves you one through... I guess that wouldn't really leave you... That leaves you three through eight, because one and two have both died at this point.
So...
Actually, I think Pertwee might have passed away.
I was going to say, that's four. Unfair for me, though, because the only other one I know of is Baker.
So, I mean, you know Pertwee.
But if you're saying that Pertwee might be dead...
Yeah, Pertwee would definitely
that's
was.
That's unfair
yeah,
for
Pertwee
me.
Yeah, Pertwee was at this point. Okay.
So the only doctor I can guess, because I know it's not Eccleston, would be Baker.
Okay.
Everybody else is a mystery to me.
All right, that's
fair. Well,
maybe
a Silicote guy.
Silicote? Oh, the seventh?
Silicote.
Oh, you're talking about Colin Baker, who looks like a clown?
Oh, there's two Baker.
There's Tom
okay,
Baker.
Okay, so I'm going to cash in both Baker.
Both Baker? Okay, well, I will tell you it is not... either Baker's. It is the fifth Doctor who came between the two Bakers.
Okay, well, that's unfair for me.
Like I said,
no points.
I wasn't gonna do a Prassy anyway. I was just curious to see who you were gonna guess. Because a little fun fact about the fifth Doctor is David Tennant's father-in-law.
Oh, fun. Okay.
He's not his father-in-law while they're filming this. That's in a couple of years' time for them.
Groovy.
Yeah, Peter Davidson was also David Tennant's doctor when David Tennant was a kid. That was the doctor David Tennant grew up with and fell in love with. David Tennant has frequently said the fifth doctor is his doctor. So it's a fun little thing to have them both together, and David Tennant gets to play David Tennant a little bit in this. He gets to just kind of geek out. So that way we would watch this for a little bit and have some fun. So nothing too serious. Let's just put it on.
Silly times ahoy.
Silly times ahoy as we watch Time Crash.
This week's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Gratatouille. Now I know what you're thinking. Gee, that does sound a lot like a ratatouille. But rest assured, this is my genuine honest thank you. Thank you so much, everybody who's been listening and tuning in every week to mine and Zach's mindless babblings. You don't know how much it means to me. I adore each and every one of you, especially the people I don't know. Thank you for listening and for sending me positive and good vibes during times of hardship. There is no rat. I repeat, there is 100% not a rat scuttling around atop of my head, on my shoulders, tugging at the ends of my hair to get me to stop talking. On a completely unrelated note, though, if anyone has some cheese or strawberries, they can send my way. I don't need them. Definitely not the rat controlling me, making me say what I'm saying. He definitely doesn't want them. But if you have any to spare, both of us would really appreciate that. Again, that's gratitude. Oh, and garbage. Delicious, homegrown, organic garbage.
And we are back from Time Crash.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it's kind of cute, isn't it? Especially, yeah. Especially that part at the end where he just gets to be like, Peter, you're so good. You're such a good doctor. I love you. You as a kid when I watched you growing up, and now I took your shoes and I took your glasses, and I'm you're so cool.
And the squeaky thing you do when you shout. I got that from you.
There's a few.
My love to long ago.
Yeah, there was one of my favorite jokes that I only recently picked up on. And by recently, I mean, like, I didn't catch it until the time I was watching it to prepare for this watch through. At one point, the Fifth Doctor asks if the Master still has that rubbish beard.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennant goes, no. Well, he has a wife.
Yeah.
Which is one of those, like, Russell.
Yeah. Not a huge fan of that, but it's fine.
I mean, it's only cute because it's for this like little charity thing, and it's written by a gay man. Like that's part of it, is like he's just sort of throwing a little joke in that the Master is himself gay, presumably for the Doctor, which, you know, there's some truth to that.
Yeah. Is this something that's only available on the DVD series?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there's other places you can find it, but I know for a fact you could just find it for free on YouTube. It's not a super high quality version of it. That's why I grabbed the DVD to watch it for us, because the one that's there is ripped from like 2007 TV broadcast, so it's in like none 80p. But it's, you know,
tech joke.
But let's get properly into this next episode, our proper Christmas special with Voyage of the Damned.
Woo!
As you have seen, it takes place on the Titanic.
On the Armistice Titanic.
So I will tell you that this ship is being run by a man named Max. His name is Max. And his last name is
the cat.
Well, his last name is the name of one of the zodiac signs.
Oh, ooh.
I will let
okay.
you. For the Cassie Profassi today, for one of them anyway. Why don't you tell me which of those is Max's last name?
Oh no. Okay. I'm gonna stick with the water sign because I think that's fun.
For the ship, yeah, that does make
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how to boil it down, because obviously my knee-jerk reaction would be Gemini, because mm-hmm. that's my sign, so I want everybody to be Gemini.
Max Gemini.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound like a name.
No, so he could be, like, Max Pisces.
Okay.
Me forgetting what water signs there are. Hang on. Well, because I know all the zodiac. I don't have my phone.
Do you think it could be me? Do you think it could be Max Taurus? Just sounds like a euphemism for a lot of bullshit.
I don't think it's Cancer.
Max Cancer. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm sorry. You have Max Cancer.
That's just what they call terminal cancer now, is Max Cancer.
That's when your doctor moonlights as a wrestler.
Yeah, but if you only have, like, you know, a little bit of melanoma, then it's like, okay, you got min cancer.
Or if you're like, you're in trouble, but you can be treated, you've got mid cancer.
Yeah. Funny cancer jokes. I'm trying to go through the order that I know, and I don't think anybody's going to really get on my case for getting them wrong.
No, I think it's also just fun to hear some of them out loud.
Yeah, so we're going to go in order. So Max, Leo, maybe? But that also doesn't sound like a name. Max Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Max Leo.
Captain Leo. No, you know why that sounds good? Michael Jackson, Captain EO. It is not Leo. Max Scorpio? Ugh, no, that's not right. Max Sagittarius? That's kind of fun.
I think you skipped Max Virgo.
Max Virgo. See, because now Max Capricorn. It could be Max Capricorn.
It could be Max Capricorn.
I do. That's kind of up there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Capricorn sounds cool, because I am also a little bit biased. I had a teacher in high school whose last name was Capra.
Oh, okay.
So, as a nickname, Capricorn is up there. I already said Sagittarius.
You did Sagittarius.
Aquarius. Max Aquarius. Ooh. Max Aquarius is also good.
Mm-hmm.
Did I? No, I'm missing one.
Max Libra, I think, is the one you're missing.
Libra?
Max Libra and Max Aries, I think, are the two that you didn't say.
Yeah, so I'm hovering now around Capricorn or Aquarius.
Okay.
And you seem to react positively to Capricorn, so I'm going to go with Capricorn.
All right, Max Capricorn.
And it just sounds... Yeah. Max Aquarius. Mm. Max Capricorn.
Secret agent. Private eye. Chef. Esquire.
Max Capricorn, attorney at law.
So many jobs that Max Capricorn has.
Dr. Max Capricorn.
Esquire.
Whoop.
PhD. All right, and then for one that maybe can get a little more of your creative juices flowing here. So you already know that the Doctor will be on the Titanic for this episode.
I am aware.
How can the Doctor be on the Titanic without causing time issues?
I mean, my running theory right now is that the TARDIS is the iceberg, which is why nobody saw it.
It's just because it's big and blue.
Yeah, and it's nighttime. You see a floating police call box in the ocean.
So you think this story takes place while the ship is actively, like, sinking?
Hot take. I don't know. Because now when you say it like that, it feels a little less likely.
Okay.
As somebody who hyperfixated on the Titanic so much in high school, you'd think I'd know more. But my info of the Titanic in more recent history has everything to do with Oceangate.
You know, I think a lot of people feel that way. There's a lot of people who are just thinking about Oceangate, or other rich people being like, well, that was just them. They just did a bad job. We can go down now.
Oh no.
As if trying to dare the Titanic to take more rich people's lives.
Like, literally, just let it be James Cameron's thing to sink to the bottom of the ocean to look at a rapidly decaying ship. That's his job. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing to happen in more recent history is the discovery of there are still finding things down in the Titanic wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a piece of jewelry that everybody was speculating has a megalodon tooth. But also what people forget is the fact that because it's several leagues under the ocean, light and color do not deflect the same way that deep underground,
mm-hmm,
under the water as it would above the surface. So something might look a certain color and might look a certain size because of the fact that it is so far underwater, and both your camera and the light that's reaching that object are not behaving the same way that they would above the water. So everybody's like, megalodon tooth jewelry, who would have this? And it's like, that could also just be like a regular ass fossil.
Yeah.
And that's been made into a necklace because, of course, there's gold and stuff around to, you know, confirm that, yes, it is a necklace. I just really love people freaking out about a piece of jewelry that sunk there was just like a 100 years ago.
Just a shark on the Titanic pretending to be a person.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to finish that husband of yours?
How? Would you like to support my small business? I make jewelry out of my own teeth.
Yes, is your Bloody Mary made with actual blood?
And actual Mary? Boy, oh boy, do I love me an actual Bloody Mary.
Okay, if you don't like this, I do have a...
I don't like this question.
Okay, I've got a backup for Fassy then, if it's not really, like, get any creative juices flowing. Because I was curious to see how you were going to spin a yarn there, but...
No, you've only made me confused.
All right, well, we'll see what happens then. So instead, I will ask you a much more simple for Fassy question that you inspired with the first...
What is the doctor's favorite color?
All right, so you actually inspired this, Professy, in your first part here, when you had theorized that this episode is the second adventure with Donna Noble.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you've theorized that, I will let you, as the Cassie Profat, I don't want to say Profatty, that doesn't sound good, the prophet of the seer of the Cassie Profatty. No. The cassier of the Cassie Profassy.
The cassoothsayer.
The cassoothsayer. Is this the second adventure with Donna Noble or not?
No.
No?
Well, I don't know, because I do, like, wee-woo-wee-woo, a little bit of a spoily. I do know that there is an episode with the Doctor and Donna talking to each other through portholes.
Mm-hmm.
And my gut was like, oh, this has to be this episode, because why would they do two episodes with Donna and David Tennant on a ship? And I know that that happens because I spoiled it for myself.
I think Instagram spoiled it for you, is what you said.
Yeah, but I elected to watch.
Mm.
I'm outing myself a little bit.
That's all right. I mean, you don't know more of the context.
I don't
of that
know
scene.
The context. I just know that somebody was like, "Oh my god, this is my favorite Doctor bit," and I went, "Hey, Doctor, hey, that. Oh no, it's a spoilers." But the spoilers are not helping me in any capacity. So, yes and no, they are helping me, because I do know, like, all right, great. There has to be an episode with David Tennant, Doctor, and Donna on a ship of some capacity. Beyond that, it is no help. So I can assume, and I can make that guess, that this is that ship.
Okay, so you're going to say, yes, this is the second journey of Donna Noble.
I think so. I don't have any reason why not to believe that.
Alrighty. So the Cassie Profassy today for the Voyage of the Damned is
but
that...
But I'm also trying to figure out how she would have gotten there, other than that her interactions with the Doctor before were, like, unusual and strange.
Mm-hmm. This does bring us back to our abandoned prophecy of how would Donna get onto the Titanic.
Unless she had, like, some kind of relation. Unless she herself is a time traveler, which doesn't seem likely. Son of a bitch. Okay.
Is it simply yes, no?
No, yes. Maybe? Naruto.
This is Cassie trying so hard to get the hamster back on the wheel in her brain. It's got three legs on there, and the fourth one is just, like, really struggling to get back up on that wheel.
Bold of you to assume that there are three legs on the wheel. There's one. It's like those videos of the lazy cats
mm-hmm.
that are on the treadmill, and they just got the one paw going. That's me right now.
All right, so I'm gonna make you have gonna have to make you make an answer. Yes,
Donna is in this.
Okay,
how? Don't ask.
Okay, well, all right then. So, the Cassie Profassy today. One of the villains of the piece is a man named Max Capricorn, and that this story features Donna Noble's return, and we will find out together as we watch this Christmas and July special, Voyage of the Damned.
Woo!
And we are back from Voyage of the Damned.
And the great god Santa with his fearsome claws engaged in battle with the turkey people.
And his wife Mary.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
I was distracted by with his fearsome claws.
Yeah, and that the only the people who are good and bad do battle, and the ones who are judged bad don't survive.
And they feast on the turkey on Christmas morning.
And all the peoples of the world are at war with Ham-erica.
And the doctor says, well, not yet.
Yeah, it's, this is...
It follows in the same Christmas logic as the likes of, like, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, there's a part of it that's like, I feel like if you've just gotten a whole slew of those, like, if you would watch this on Christmas, there's a part of it where it's like, not this again. But when you're just kind of getting it in the middle of July like we are, there's something very charming about someone who just doesn't understand anything about Earth.
Well, it's also the, I love the... It's like a little mental, like a mind game, and you too can play it at home, where you think about something in like modern day,
mm-hmm.
and your reasonings for doing things like that now, and how historians might interpret it, you know, hundreds of years from now. So, like, a good example is, as a joke, as a little pranky prank, if you're redoing the walls in your house, the people that get plastic skeletons, mm-hmm. and like, keep them in the house, or they like leave notes under the like newly refurbished floors saying like, hi, we did this in 2002. How dare you ruin the floors we worked so hard on? It's like, it's funny, and people do that because it's a little prinky prank, a little joke. But if somebody saw it in
3022,
like,
oh, what is their reasoning for doing this? You know, and it's like the intention is as a joke, but if you don't know and you're taking things very serious.
Would you get far enough removed from context?
Like Santa Claus. Spelled C-L-A-W-S. Is so funny to me.
Yes.
Every time it's funny.
So I will say you got one of your two Profassi points today.
I'm really glad because I had a 1 in 12 chance of getting that correct.
Yes, you did get Max Capricorn. That one is correct. Unfortunately, Donna Noble does not make an appearance in this episode.
Well, in all fairness, this wasn't a seafaring ship.
No, it was not.
So
that was kind of what I was trying to get at with that middle Profassi, where I was trying to see if you could just, even if you would just say there is another Titanic, I would have accepted it.
I wondered why it was odd that they weren't calling it the RMS Titanic, and now I understand why.
Yeah, because it's not. It is just a Titanic.
Yeah, and it would also be a little insensitive to...
Yes, yeah, especially because there are people that were on the Titanic that are alive right now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe when they've all passed and it's been a few years.
Even still, that's like if we were making comedy movies about people in concentration camps. Like, that's not...
I suppose that, because I was going to say, there are some comedy movies set in World War II.
Well, yeah, but it's the specificity of incredible tragedy attached to levity.
Yes.
That is not... Typically, when you read, especially like in that context, if you're reading stories about people that found the loves of their lives in concentration camps, like that's levity, but it's also because they fought to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking specifically about The Tattooist of Auschwitz, which is a very good book and apparently also a series on Peacock. Go figure.
Interesting.
Anyways.
So I think this episode is a very good like microcosm of what Russell T. Davies' whole deal is when he writes Doctor Who.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of like high emotion, a lot of like a very operatic feel to
and
it.
And very stupid things as well.
Yeah, but it's also partnered with things that are very stupid.
Good gravy.
you get
Banna Cavalata.
Yeah, Banna Cavalata.
Do you just want to hover at where... There is, hey, Zach, there's a small red man in the room. I think we need to address him first.
Yes, Banna Cavalata, the cyborg that will only refer to himself by his full name.
Because he's not just a cyborg. No. There's a lot going on with Banna Cavalata, where he is a little person, but he's not just a little person. He is painted red and covered in fleshy nails. It's like a pinhead type of thing, or like... That's the name, right?
Yeah, Pinhead. Yeah,
it's Pinhead, but if Pinhead was made of flesh and also 3 feet tall.
Yeah, made of flesh, 3 feet tall.
And the color of blood.
Only his face. I didn't register his hands. I didn't know if those were painted as well. But it doesn't matter because his whole torso is evidently cyborg. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Do not tell.
Benacavalata, do not tell.
Benacavalata is ashamed.
Apparently I'm engaged. I think Benacavalata and I just became engaged. Also, yes. Kylie Minogue.
Yes, the companion of this adventure was Kylie Minogue.
Oh my god.
Playing Astrid.
So I don't know if you've picked up on the fact that Astrid is an anagram of TARDIS.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
So when there was an announcement that Kylie Minogue was playing a character named Astrid, a lot of people wondered if that was like, oh, she's like a living, like the TARDIS becomes a person or something like that. And it's just a total, it's nothing to do with that at all. If there's any relation, it's a red herring. But it is otherwise just Kylie Minogue is playing Astrid.
Especially since they've made it canon in this universe that Kylie Minogue
exists
as a pop artist.
Yeah, because they in addition to the clip that you've already seen from the new season, they also referenced her in The Idiot's Lantern. Mm-hmm. They make a reference to a Kylie Minogue song in that one too.
So it's sort of this cute, almost like Kylie Minogue sandwich of two references and one appearance in the middle. But yes, she was the companion for this episode. She leaves. She obviously cannot come back. She is dead. She has become Stardust.
She's
and is traveling the stars.
Stardust. Which, like, I'm happy to see that there was a little loophole so it didn't end with her dying in a fiery inferno like our two friends from Texas.
Yeah, there's a moment where they really, like, have the couple, like, really bond for a moment where it's like, you spent 5,000 credits, and they get all, like, cutesy and, like, very clearly in love, and they start kissing, and you're like, they're gonna die.
Yup.
It's just like, oh no.
No. Oh no, the people that we've been kind of fat shaming this whole episode.
Well, it wasn't the episode that was fat shaming. It was the Billy Zane you order on Wish.com, Rixton. Because every time it was just like, how are Mr. and Mrs. Fatso going to fit through that hole?
They're going across the bridge last. They'll to save us all.
Yeah. Just.
Okay, shut the fuck up, dude.
Anytime they let him speak, it was basically, and by the way, I'm a rich asshole. Even at the end when he's finally like, thank you for saving my life, doctor. Also, I'm rich. Ta-ta!
Toodaloo!
I'm going to skip away and answer a phone call that just says, please, give me even more money.
I hate the rich.
Doctor Who said, eat the rich.
Oh my god. Just in general... Fucking, I hate them. Hey, the rich, buzz off.
We know you're listening, the rich.
LOL, all of our listeners are also poor. Unless you are rich, in which case, I love you.
Give us a gift
of money. Because of this show, I do not trust angels.
Yes, we have twice now. We have them weeping and we have them information. You get some information, angels?
Kill.
Kill.
Kill all humans.
Yeah, all the angels are Bender.
Kill all humans. Information. I didn't like that they had to say information because it didn't really seem that they had any other, like, command word.
Well, also, it's just like, there's a part of it that's also like, this seems unwieldy. Like, why is, you know, because we carry around our phones with us everywhere for information.
Yeah, but Siri also doesn't have to say information.
Well, it's also just like, even if you just assume for a second that their purpose is to dispense information, and they don't always properly do it because they've been given a protocol to kill people, it's a little weird. For you to decide, you know what we need to give out information are roaming angel statues everywhere.
Yeah, what's with the, and they're not, and nothing against, nothing against any of the humans inside of the angels. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that they were all a little bit different height. Which is such a small, whittle, itty-bitty, petty thing.
Yeah.
But if you're in the canon of this, if you're saying that they're all identical, like robot,
yeah,
beings, like it, that just all the weeping angels with the same height.
That is true.
Granted, that's also because they were sitting on little bicycle seats, but still,
it's also it is funny to know that they're only angels because they dressed the whole ship up in celebration of Christmas.
Yeah.
There were Christmas trees also in the,
and there was a wreath or two.
Yeah, so it was very like. In the same vein of, I have a first class degree in earthonomics.
Yeah.
One of those words very clearly, like, we just slapped together whatever little things we could pick up. We're going to go down to Earth. I mean, honestly, we're kind of lucky no one teleported down to Earth to, like, abduct some people from Turkey to eat them for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because it really seems like that one guy was not cool. He really seemed to assume a lot of Earth is... I mean, I want to say Earth is more violent than he was assuming, but Earth is violent in different ways than he was assuming.
I'm also really surprised that nobody else thought to use the teleportation bracelets to go to Earth.
Well, in fairness to the plot, they established that they didn't have any power until...
Even still afterwards, even after the... Spoiler alert, everything is kind of okay in the end. Even at that point, the only people that use the bracelets are mm-hmm. the Doctor, because he's technically a stowaway, mm-hmm. and Dr. Copper, or Mr. Copper, because he's old.
He's old, and he also, like, his degree is fake.
Yeah.
So they what he said was that him having, that if he gets caught with that, having faked his credentials, he can go to jail for 10 years, which means he will die in prison.
I mean... Most likely, but he also wasn't in poor health.
Yeah,
but I guess in this, we're not being picky.
Yeah, we also don't know how long the people of Stowe live.
I also need to remind myself, the logic of this show is zilch. There is no logic in this show.
I don't want to say it's zilch. It's just, especially the David...
It's the need to suspend my disbelief and accept... wacky truths.
Yeah, there's especially when Russell's in charge.
Specifically when it comes to bullshit like cyborgs and old people, apparently.
You know, those fictional things like cyborgs and old people.
And the elderly.
I will say that especially during Russell's run of it, the show, if the show is presented with an option to do something logical or to go with high emotion, it will... always go high emotion. It does. If it's going to choose, it will always pick something that is more, that is going to, like, make you feel something.
Yeah, which
even if you're just like, you got to turn your brain off for this moment, which is, you know,
is he also the one that wrote the spider episode?
I believe so.
Okay.
The our first Dawn and Noble adventure. Yeah. Yes, that was also Russell T. Davies.
It's spider, because I just remember thinking in that one, like, damn, they're really doing the Doctor dirty. Like, he just, he's scary in that. But
I mean,
in this, we also see, what's the body count in this? 4?
Technically speaking, the ship had 2,000 people on it.
I don't care about the other people, Zach.
I mean, of the named characters we have of that little crew, there were... four, including Astrid.
Well, yeah, because there were the techs. I guess the captain as well.
Yeah, but the captain didn't really get an... Well, I guess he did, but the captain wasn't part of, like, the crew of good guys.
Yes and no, because, like, it was his fault, but he was doing what he was doing for money for his family.
Because I've only got 6 months to live, and so I'm going to...
It's the stupid emotional angle of you're going to crash the ship to make sure that your family has money... Dumb, but okay.
I wonder if that family still gets money with Max having died in the engine.
Wait, pause, though. Just quick pause. Max Capricorn might be my new favorite villain ever.
With his one gold tooth
and
his metal everything else.
Oh my god, it metal.
I hear,
Doctor.
I hear the ladies there love metal.
No, he specifically breaks certain words into two, like metal. And it's the way that they have the actor sitting in his little box.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool makeup to make it look like he's just a floating head.
Mm-hmm.
Love that effect. But he also then suffers from Grim Grinning Ghost Syndrome, which is what I call it.
What does that mean?
So you're familiar with how they did the singing busts in the Haunted Mansion,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
For those of you at home who may or may not know, basically each and every actor had to sit with their head like on a stand, and they could not move because busts' heads don't move. It's just their faces. So their faces are extraordinarily animated so that way it could translate positively onto, you know, be projected onto another three-dimensional thing to make it look alive. But the busts themselves are not moving. It's just their face. So Max Capricorn has Grim Grinning Ghost Syndrome because his acting is limited. I mean, he has the exception of he can move his whole head, but his acting is limited to only his face and his head.
Yeah.
So there are times where he's emphasizing things by looking directly over him with his foggy one eye and gold tooth.
You see, Doctor, I had to become a cyborg after the stomach incident I had from chewing all the scenery.
Oh my god, it's so good. I think that's why I like the face of Bo so much as well. I just love face acting, and it's no surprise, that's how I act.
It's also you seem to really gravitate towards when it's a really solid practical effect like that.
Very solid practical. There's a lot of good things going in where it's like very cheesy, very bold, but there is no reason for those acting choices to not be that big and distinct. Mm-hmm. There is no reason you would say, hey, I have this acting opportunity for you to be on, you know, very popular BBC network television show, Doctor Who. The catch is you won't be able to use any of your body parts acting. You just get to cheese it up as eccentric billionaire Max Capricorn. You in? Absolutely, you'd go. You'd go full Hamerica for that.
Yeah, it's so silly. And I also appreciate just the comparison of Banacaphalata. Having the he's a cyborg, meaning that just like his chest piece has been turned
into...
It's
just him wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, but then you've got Max, who's in like a full little RV car. He's in like his personal tank.
He's a floating head. Like he genuinely has like presidential Futurama vibes.
Yeah, he's a head sitting in a fish tank, and that fish tank is on top of a big tank. And for some reason, those are both the same thing. Banacaphalata's like chest piece and this fucking tank are the same thing.
A big tank, but also still compact enough to be downed by a forklift.
And I like how they set up him saying, my name is Max, a lot, just so they could be like, and I knew it was you because my name is Max. And I'm like, God, the cheese.
And with his dumb little, like...
Let me go get a tortilla so I can make a quesadilla with this cheese.
I loved it. I loved it, Doctor.
You'd mentioned in the last Christmas special the Doctor had been kind of quite scary.
Yeah.
In this one, they give him a similar level of intensity. But it's not it's not dramatic scary times. It's like, I'm the Doctor. I am here to monologue to you about how important I am. I'm going to save all of your lives, and you're going to clap for me at the end of it. Any questions?
I'm a Time Lord, which then...
I'm 903 years old.
Which then sweet, sweet Astrid goes, you're the Time King from Ganabe. Like, good for you, Queen. You remembered, like, 65% of that, which is still a passing grade.
You remembered the word time and that he's a ruler of it somehow. It's not just the intensity of that monologue, though. It's also later when he's like, well, you see, the angels, their leadership has died, so that went on to the next person in charge, and that's me. Which, first of all, why? Why is that you? But secondly... the first thing he uses it for is to hold his arms out and for the angels to lift him into the sky.
To lock arms with him and then fly.
I'm the Doctor. I'll be playing the role of Jesus this evening in our nativity play.
Full-grown Jesus. Immediately go from infant to man.
Where? I am baby Jesus.
I mean, if you ask certain religious people, that is...
David Tennant playing the baby Jesus.
I mean, in a lot of those types of nativities, the thing of it is like, and the baby Jesus, the infant Jesus did not cry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because he's still in
shock. I would
never
cry. I'm the Doctor.
Still in shock.
I only cry when my girlfriend Rose is trapped in another dimension.
Or when I find a new girlfriend that's like Rose, but more like 50s housewife sort of aesthetic. Immediately fall in love with her, and then she sacrifices herself on a forklift.
God, there's a...
And then I can bring her back, but only kind of.
There's a bit from Mystery Science Theater that I think of every time I watch that, which is just the three guys start singing.
This is the chase, Rocky and Ken. He tried to kill me with a forklift. Olay!
And I'm like, why is that so specific a thing for it to happen more than once?
If I had a nickel for every time that this has happened, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot. Weird how that it's happened twice.
I just keep on thinking about how... Because I love the theme of the Doctor having a female companion. I think that's nice, if for no other reason than balance. It's a big deal for me. Loved Rose. Martha started very strong, but just...
Her only character trait after a while was, the Doctor doesn't love me back. I was really, really rooting for the idea of Kylie Minogue to be the Doctor's companion. And then it hit me that we have not seen the Doctor with a very old companion. I know it's not going to happen, but so, I really wanted there to be a Doctor and Mr. Copper.
So let's actually talk about that for a minute, because there's a fun little coincidence here. The guy selling newspapers is an actor by the name of Bernard Cribbins. That was meant to be just a little cameo, because he was an actor that he played a character in the classic series as well. However, because an actor that was supposed to appear in series 4 unfortunately was dealing with cancer, Bernard Cribbins ended up taking his role. And I don't, and I needed to let you know, he is a recurring character this series. And by the end of it, he might be your favorite character.
A recurring character that might become my favorite character.
Yeah, so the guy selling newspapers, the guy who was like,
only... His name is Bernard Cribbins, or that's the actor's name?
That's the actor's name.
Okay.
His name originally in this series, in this episode, is supposed to be Stan. But Rusty Davis was like, well, if he's going to be a recurring character, I can't give him the name Stan. What kind of dumb name is Stan? So instead, his name is Wilfred Mott.
Like the applesauce?
Like the applesauce, yes. They have not said it yet. They will say it the next time you see him.
Okay. I mean...
But he... how old? He is a delightful old man.
Love that.
Yeah. So he's not quite a companion in the sense that he doesn't fly in the TARDIS. But he will come up a couple of times, and I think you... he is many people's favorite character, despite only really existing for this season. So I'm curious how you'll line up with him.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. That feels like a little bit of a spoiler, but it's also just kind of a fun little detail about this episode.
All right.
Yeah.
Also, if you had told me that we would see corgis...
Yes, the Queen's corgis.
The Queen's corgis.
Because they have to evacuate the Queen out of Buckingham Palace.
I genuinely... I recognize the corgis are very important to the Queen. Never in a million years would have thought, oh yeah, we'll see corgis at least once in Doctor Who.
Yes, it... So those are sort of a little nod to... The idea, I obviously don't know how true or untrue this is, they never confirmed it, but there's always been this rumor that Queen Elizabeth really liked Doctor Who. Which is kind of amusing to picture, like, the prim and proper Queen Elizabeth going, I like that Doctor fellow.
I mean, it could just as well have been, like, he's a bit silly. I also like enjoy his antics.
Because that's obviously not the real Queen. Even though the real Queen has shown up in... the real Queen has done ads for... She's done ads for James Bond movies and stuff like that. She's shown up in things. But it's funny that because it's not, they just shoot her from the back at all times.
With her hair and curlers. And one of the royal guards carrying a dog.
Yeah. And there's another corgi who's like just trotting along on his own little feet. But they're trying to stop the ship Titanic from crashing into Buckingham Palace. And they're like, you gotta get the Queen out of there. And I'm like, man, they're lucky this wasn't Eccleston. If Eccleston was there, he would have been like, make sure the Queen is there so I can end her.
I just have been thinking about other unlikely animal friends for the Doctor.
Unlikely old, animal friends.
Old man is one.
Old man, you know those. You know the zoo attraction. Old man.
You know what I mean. It's unlikely human friends. Doesn't sound as silly.
Unlikely companions. We'll tell you that one of his companions at one point was a cavewoman.
That's fun.
One of his companions for a while was another Time Lord. Her name was Romana.
See, I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, I would really love to see the Doctor with, like an African gray parrot. Like, something that is genuinely, or like a crow, a raven. Like, I would love to see the Doctor with, like, an Asian auntie. I think that would be very fun.
There, I am remembering that, I think I told you that at one point Tom Baker really got onto his, like, hopped on his own bullshit a little too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And thought that he was the be-all, end-all of the show. And so there was one story that has no companion because he wanted to prove that he didn't need one. But someone said that pointed out the very obvious problem of, hey, the Doctor needs a companion, so the Doctor has someone to talk to. So Tom Baker's pitch was a talking cabbage.
Whoa.
I wanted to make sure I got the vegetable right, so I had to double check that. But yeah, he wanted a talking cabbage.
Tom Baker Doctor at Sesame Street? Wait, no, pause. No other companion. There has to be Doctor and Muppets.
Specifically with the Robert De Niro cabbage from that Elmo sketch?
Yes!
Hey, look at me, I'm a cabbage. Good source of riboflavin.
I know we've had this ongoing we have an ongoing conversation in our house of...
What movie would you replace everybody with except for one human? Or everybody with Muppets except for one human? I think this might be a case where the Doctor has to be...
Cassie, I think we've already landed there because your favorite companion is K-9.
Well, yes. I'm talking, though, could you imagine having Pepe King Prawn being a companion?
Hey, Dr. R.A., can we maybe stay a little bit and talk to some of the nice ladies of this nice Italian district we found ourselves in, all right?
Or who else? We could have Dr. Teeth.
Seems we've landed in Sweden. Bort, bort, bort.
That would be so funny. Wait. Honeydew and Beaker as companions for the Doctor?
So, there's a sketch I may have to show you off podcast that I think it may have also been done for charity, which is David Tennant Doctor shows up to help pigs in space from The Muppet Show.
Oh, but I'm really distracted now by the Doctor with Honeydew and Beaker. Me, 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 me. I'm distracted now. Somebody make this a reality for me, please.
Maybe I could show that for you and make it a reality for you here in a little bit. Well, that was The Voyage of the Damned. It was definitely more than a little silly. But you know,
I mean, any of the moments that are genuinely sweet and sincere are then followed by absolute buffoonery.
Followed by, and you've got £1 million.
You've got 50. 50, like, million pounds.
Because he said he was trying to translate that into space money. So it was £1 million is 50 million credits.
Okay.
And I went, oh my God. I feel like
But if you had what you thought was just enough money for trinkets.
I guess, yeah.
And then you get told, no, you have enough money for a house with a door and a garden.
And chairs and plates.
Yeah, like, if you are an old, old man who has been afraid for the past several hours that you were going to prison for the next 10 years, and then you get told, not only do you have a way out, but also you are not going to struggle. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to live comfortably.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That would be awesome. And I won't forget her.
Heck of a retirement plan, that planet Earth.
Oh, yeah. And also her saying, we have an old tradition.
I do wonder how.
Jumping way the hell back to Kylie Minogue, Astrid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have an old tradition and it's making out with people.
We have an old tradition in Stowe. Runs over to get on a box so she's head height with David Tennant.
And then pulls him in.
We
have a tradition on my planet. It's called Frenching.
You have a France in your on your planet?
I read.
It's very fun. It's very dumb. Like, there's parts of it that are so dumb. I don't think there's any part of it that, like, quite goes, this is a bridge too far, quite like David Tennant being carried away by the angels.
The only thing that I could say is Foon. That was her name? Yes.
Yes.
Foon's eyebrows were a touch too far, in my opinion. They were so incredibly drawn on, which I don't know if that was a choice made.
I do like that the choice was to name her Foon so they could continue so that they could continue making David Tennant sound like that, like he did with Jadoon Platoon on the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, God, when he meets the Ood.
When he meets that vanilla woodsy scent. You know what Ood is, yeah?
Yes, we talked about that when they popped up the first time. Speaking of which, they do come back later this season.
No.
But you will find out about that on a future episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? Podcast listener, what day is it? July 2nd? Assuming you're listening to this on the day it's uploaded. Why, then I haven't missed Christmas. Or, like, a lot of holidays, for that matter. I can do all the best things to celebrate, such as subscribing to Who Is My Doctor wherever you get your podcasts, or leaving a like or 5 stars to help the algorithm lead the podcast to other Whovians. And of course, I must follow this podcast on Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. But of course, the most important holiday of all is Tuesday, because with Who Is My Doctor, every Tuesday is now Whose Day. Next week is Partners in Crime. We'll see you then.